Thank you, worship team. And once again, I mean, that's a quote from our text today, that last song, which I'm going to be reflecting on. So it's amazing how God touches us and lines things up by His Spirit. We want to read, as we begin this series, the handling the ups and downs of life, and from the book of Psalms, and I want to read from Psalm 118, verses 1 through 13. You'll notice the mountains beside the text there. Those are, you know, you climb up mountains and down mountains, and so that's the graphic that Joanne came up with for us. So thank you, Joanne, for that. Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, His love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His love endures forever. In my anguish, I cried to the Lord, and He answered by setting me free. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them off. I was pushed back, about to fall, but the Lord helped me. My wife Diane and I live in White Rock. We've been living here for 5 years, and a couple of weeks ago we were looking through the Peace Arch News, our local advertiser, and we saw the report that City Hall has come up with a new advertising slogan for the city of White Rock. They engaged a public relations firm and spent tens of thousands of taxpayers' dollars to study it, to make sure they would come up with the most powerful advertising slogan possible for White Rock. Well, here's what they came up with. White Rock, city by the sea. Can you imagine spending money? And after all that, that's what they came up with. I tend to agree with some of the critics and say, you know, it's kind of anemic, isn't it? Kind of lame, kind of tame, kind of lacking in inspiration. How about discover the excitement of tidal power? Or, you know, catch the wave or something that has a little bit of energy. But I hear that Tourism Vancouver was also working on a new slogan. And here's what they came up with. They said, visit Vancouver, it'll be a riot. So that has more edge to it, doesn't it? See, a good advertising slogan is very valuable. And businesses strive to get that slogan that'll be memorable for people. And I was thinking about this. I was wondering, you know, how much ice cream Dairy Queen has sold with the We Treat You Right slogan? How many hamburgers Wendy has sold because of You Know When It's Real? Or how much food McDonald's has sold with the I'm loving it ad. That's my emotional favorite ad. The whole set of series of ads, I'm loving it. I wonder how much sports attire Nike has sold with the slogan, just do it. Or how many pickup trucks General Motors has sold with the like a rock advertising. Now that goes back a little while, but it was the best. When they abandoned that particular ad, the sales, I think, with General Motors went downhill, and I think that's what ended them in wherever they ended up. Well, they're making a comeback. Well, today I want to give you a faith slogan. A slogan that I believe has the power of improving your relationship with God. A slogan that has the power of strengthening your faith, causing it to grow. And my slogan is in the title. His love endures forever. If we get that slogan integrated into our life, it will affect us powerfully. And we see that line reflected numerous times in the psalm, and I want to impress that on your heart and in your mind today. You know, about this Psalm 118, we don't know who the author of this psalm was, nor do we know for what occasion it was written. But the responsive nature of this psalm makes it seem that it was written for some festive event, some special occasion. And the best guess that I've seen out there was probably it was written for the occasion of celebrating the completion of the building of the walls around Jerusalem in the days of Nehemiah in the 5th century B.C. And so they had this celebration. Here's another interesting thing about this psalm. This psalm was Martin Luther's favorite psalm. Martin Luther has this to say, and I'll quote it. He says, "I have come to grips with this psalm in a special sense, so that I feel free to call it my very own. For it has done me great service on many occasions and has stood by me in many a difficulty." Well, let's believe that this psalm can do great things for us here today as we interact with what God is saying to us. The psalm begins by repeating his love endures forever 4 times. Then 29 verses later, it ends with the same line, his love endures forever. So what we have here really is a sandwich. The upper layer, his love endures forever. Underneath, his love endures forever. In between, all of life. If we live our life under the umbrella of this promise, his love endures forever, if we walk solidly on the promise, his love endures forever, all of life will surely take care of itself. I can't help but mention that by speaking of a sandwich, I was just a little distracted. No, I'm not hungry. Some people think of sandwich as a, you know, maybe you didn't have enough breakfast and the sandwich kind of reminded me of food, but that wasn't on my thought, but I was thinking of the British Open, which is being played at Sandwich, England. And when I left, Darren Clark had one hole to play and he was leading by 3. Did he close it out? Darren Clark was the winner of the British Open. That's his first major tournament. A 40-year-old, 41-year-old, 42-year-old. And Phil Mickelson was competing with him, was tied with him. And Phil Mickelson's kind of my wife's emotional favorite, and I always get a little, you know, insecure when she cheers him on so enthusiastically. But anyway, Phil came close. But Darren Clark, it is at Sandwich. But anyway, the sandwich we're talking about here right now is his love endures forever. Foundation, his love endures forever. And if we get a grip on that and understand and integrate it, it will change our life. And I wanted to refer your attention, in the psalm, I see 4 enhancements that it brings to life. This promise of God, his love endures forever. The first one is, this truth enhances our prayer life. See, after the psalmist has reviewed 4 times his love endures forever, he breaks forth into prayer. And he recalls how he prayed. I'm sure he was thinking, you know, his love endures forever. You know, I'm talking about love. And then he's thinking, yes, when I understand God's love, it's a natural thing for me to go to him in prayer. In my distress, verse 5, in my distress I prayed to the Lord. Now, I can't imagine any Christian not wanting to improve their prayer habits. So here's the takeaway for you on prayer. If you want to improve your prayer habits, I cannot think of a better way of doing it than to examine your relationship with God and his love. When you understand that God loves you profoundly, it will naturally draw you into prayer, into a prayer conversation. But if you kind of have the idea that God is disappointed in you and disapproving of you, then you will be like a child that feels the disapproval of their parents. And you know, when the parents are kind of cross with you, you kind of like to stay out of their way. You kind of try to avoid them. But when you know that your parents dote on you, when they love you, then you want to have a conversation with them. A couple of years ago, Diane and I were reading the book, a book that was quite controversial at the time. And the title of the book is The Shack by William Young. I'm sure many of you read it, published in 2007. And I guess it was controversial because a man named Mac spends a weekend at the shack in the wilderness with God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now the controversial part came in that God the Father was represented by a big Afro-American woman with an apron who did all the cooking, and she had a sense of jolly. She was kind of a jolly person, and that was God, and she was called Papa. The Holy Spirit was represented by an Asian woman, and she dispensed wisdom and nice, warm, unifying thoughts. And then Jesus was represented by an energetic young man who had a tool belt around his waist and was a handyman type, and he loved to go fishing, and he was a real collegial buddy type of guy. And that was Jesus. And so Mac spends the weekend with the Trinity, God, in a dialogue, and they teach him so many things. And one of the most memorable lines that comes out of that book for me is when Mac is in conversation with Papa, with God, God says to him, "I am especially fond of you." Now just think of it. How would you respond if you would hear God in a personal way say to you, "I am especially fond of you"? And then the dialogue goes further, and Mac is quizzing him, "Well, do you feel that way about just me or everybody?" And God says, "Well, really, I can't think of anybody that I don't feel that way about." And so it kind of communicates that I am especially fond of you. We can claim that for ourselves. And in a way, we could revise this psalm by saying, "His love endures forever." We could replace it with, "I am especially fond of you." I think there's grounds to kind of, that's kind of interchangeable. And so, if we have this sense, if we hear God saying to us, "I am especially fond of you," it will draw us, it will relax us, draw us into His presence, so that we'll be free to share our highest and our lowest and our deepest and our darkest aspirations and fears and anxieties with Him, and even our complaints. Yes, I think the key to a dynamic prayer life is to discover how great God's love is for us. And that was part of the music of the background of that, the love of God is greater far. It is amazing. And so God wants us to discover His love. In fact, I believe that discovering God's love is the solution to all our spiritual problems. Well, then somebody might be saying, "Well, what about the repentance, the confession, and the justice, and the righteousness, and all those aspects of, you know, if we really get the love right, I'm convinced everything else will fall in place." We will. And we will have that sense of coming to God and claim His grace and His mercy. Okay. This truth, His love endures forever, it enhances our prayer life. Secondly, this truth enhances our confidence and sense of security in life. You know, if we live life with a sense of fear and anxiety and uncertainty, it's destabilizing. And it greatly diminishes our enjoyment of life, and it keeps us from being what God wants us to be, from living life fully. And so God wants us to walk through life with the confidence of the sandwich. His overarching love, His love endures forever. The foundation of love endures forever. That means we can walk with confidence. I told you about Martin Luther, that this was his favorite psalm. And the first thing that came to my mind was, well, why would this be Martin Luther's favorite psalm? And then I realized, really, it is quite obvious why it would be Martin Luther's favorite psalm. Martin Luther, living in the 15th century, lived in a time when the church and state were really intertwined. And Martin Luther had this great spiritual epiphany, and he rebelled against the church. And in rebelling against the church, he was rebelling against the entire establishment. And so he was living very dangerously. His life was, there were many that sought to take his life. And so he lived in danger. And then we can read, when he read the psalm, he says, "The Lord is with me, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? He is my helper." And so he had this sense of invincibility. And God wants each one of us to have that core zone of invincibility. Other people can do many things to us, but they cannot take away our relationship with God. They cannot take away our eternal home and our eternal hope. And they really can't thwart God's plan for us as we walk with God. And so there is this tremendous sense of confidence and well-being that we have. Life is fundamentally uncertain. And people do get blindsided. Sometimes we get blindsided by health problems, sometimes by financial problems. And perhaps the most hurtful is getting blindsided by relationship problems. Yes, there are people who, in marriage, all of a sudden one partner gets surprised, blindsided by the other one, that I want out, I'm leaving you, or I want you to leave. And there is this tremendous sense of hurt and pain and difficulty. And in those times, you might get blindsided at the place of work, a job you love, and all of a sudden, suddenly, you are on the outside. And in those vulnerable, hurtful, painful moments, we can cast ourselves upon the promise, His love endures forever. I am especially fond of you. And trust God to vindicate us. It occurred to me that there might be someone here who can't relate to being put upon in that way. Maybe you've not been the object of that kind of unfairness or injustice. But horror of horrors, you have to admit that you were on the giving end. You're the one that acted unjustly. You're the one that created the hurt. You look back and you can't believe how you did it. And you ask, what place is there for me? And I say to you, this promise is for you too. His love endures forever. I am especially fond of you. God wants you to find forgiveness. He wants you to be free. And He wants you to walk forward confidently in the sandwich of God's love above you, God's love under you, indeed, God's love in you. This truth, His love endures forever, will enhance our prayer life. It enhances our sense of confidence and security in life. It also will enhance our energy level. After celebrating the security and confidence in the Lord, the psalmist goes on a rampage of destruction. Now, I can't satisfactorily explain the violence that is in this psalm or the violence in other psalms, but I will kind of sidestep it by allegorizing it. Well, let me read what I'm talking about here. And in this case, I'm reading from the NLT. The first part came from the NIV because I wanted the more compressed, His love endures forever. The NLT expands on it a little bit, so I wanted that compressed line. But here's what Psalm 10, 11, and 12, 118, verses 10, 11, and 12. Though hostile nations surrounded me, I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. Yes, they surrounded and attacked me, but I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. They swarmed around me like bees. They blazed against me like a crackling fire, but I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. Well, there's a lot of destruction, so here's the lesson. Here's how a takeaway that I think we can have. The psalmist, all of a sudden, is filled with the energy to overcome all the obstacles that might keep him from doing God's will. To overcome all the obstacles that would keep him from doing what God asks him to do. And so he has this great surge of energy. Love energizes us. And if you're lacking in spiritual energy, just kind of refresh your love for God, and God will give us that energy. In this, as an example of this, I was thinking of the story of Jacob in Genesis, where Jacob comes to Laban and he wants to marry Rachel, and he strikes the deal. And notwithstanding the complications of that deal, how 7 years turned into 14 years, but here's the line when famous line, Genesis 29:20. So Jacob spent the next 7 years working to pay for Rachel. Get this. But his love for her was so strong that it seemed to him but a few days. Talk about an example of love energizing him. He worked for Laban. He worked hard for 7 years, but it felt like a few days because he had all this energy that comes from love. And so I invite you to experience the energy that comes from having God's love and loving one another as we serve. This church can only be the vibrant faith community that God wants it to be if we keep reminding ourselves and each other that we're doing it all for God. We're doing it all out of love. And so whether you're folding chairs at the end of the service or the platform, by the way, we don't have to do that today, so I'm not leaning on you for that today, because summer holidays, we kind of leave this set up. So, but whatever you're doing, or whether you're making the refreshments or standing at the door or working behind the scenes or up in the limelight or in children's ministry, if we do it out of love for God, we'll have energy. It won't seem like work. It won't seem like a sacrifice. It takes sacrifice, but it won't feel like a sacrifice. And that's the ideal way of serving. I invite you to join us, all of us here together, and say, let's keep reigniting our love for God, our love for one another, so that we'll have the energy to do what God wants us to do. The fourth enhancement. This truth, his love endures forever, enhances our sense of appreciation and gratitude. Two wonderful lines in the psalm, verse 23. This is the Lord's doing, and it is wonderful to see. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. What a great attitude. What a great way to approach life. To have this sense of expectation. This is the Lord's doing. It's wonderful to see expectation. You know, I have used this line, this is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it, many times on special occasions. I've used it at wedding ceremonies. You start the wedding by saying, this is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. I think it's a great way to start a wedding ceremony. And one only prays that the couple will keep on feeling that way year after year after year. And not to be too boastful here, but 44 years later, Diane and I keep rediscovering that joy. Uh-oh, lost that. Caught you. Okay. Did I say that at my daughter's, well, we won't go there, but it was wonderful. It was wonderful. I sure felt that way, whether I had a chance to say it or not. So, but the thing is, we sometimes reserve this phrase for special occasions, but here is a way of elevating it. I think God wants us to treat every day that way. I think every day when we should say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And if that is our expectation, you know, if we have a sense that every day is lived in the sandwich, God's love above us, God's love under us, we can have that. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Kind of an attitude. God wants us to have that. And I have that, you know, as I stand before you as a freshly minted 70-year-old, I have some concept of his love endures forever, because 70 years, I'm sure to you, seems like forever, but it seems awful sure to me. But in God, I rejoice, and I'm profoundly humbled by the thought of how God's grace has been there for me, and I'm confident that God's grace will go with me in this next chapter as I serve here with you. And I invite you to pray for me and pray for the staff here, for Wayne, as we have really only one goal, to do that which God wants us to do and to manifest the fruit of the Spirit in our life every day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I close with a quote from a book I read last week. 2 weeks ago, I was in Wayne's office, and I was browsing at his book, and my eyes fell on an author's name on one of the books, Irvin McManus. Now, I have heard a lot of stuff about Irvin McManus, but I've never read a single book by Irvin McManus, and I figured, I want to read that book. I pulled it out, and I asked Wayne if I could borrow the book, and I read the book. It's a good thing I saw the author's name first rather than the title, because the title is The Barbarian Way. Now, what a terrible title. The Barbarian Way? It did not have any appeal. It was an example, though, of a book with a terrible title but great content. I've got too many books in my library. That's the other way around. Great title and weak content. But anyway, Irvin McManus, he's kind of the Tony Campolo-type personality in his church, the Mosaic Church in L.A. I've never been to his church, but might be on our list the next time we're, you know, cruising around in retirement. Oh, yeah, that's got postponed, isn't it? Here's what Irvin McManus says about our life lived under God's love. He says, if we walk away from Christ, we need to understand that we are walking away from a life of faith, risk, and adventure, and choosing a life that is boring, mundane, and ordinary. Walking away from Christ, walking away from God's love, means we're walking away from the life that's an exciting adventure, and we're choosing something that is boring, mundane, and ordinary. Yes, let's keep this line, his love endures forever, before us. Let's make that our daily faith slogan, his love endures forever. I am especially fond of you. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love that overarches all of our life and is the foundation upon which we can walk firmly. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit will stir this into our life, and that we can embrace it as our philosophy of life, and that daily we will experience the beauty of it, the excitement of it. And so guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. I thank you for the love that has been shown to me in this circle here today, in this service. And I pray that you would just return the blessing to each person that participated in it for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to close with...